welcome to the Hearts Entwined podcast. In this podcast, we'll be having discussions around the secrets which attract lasting, healthy, fulfilling relationships, creating a healthy mindset, and what women should know and understand about men. Introducing your host, Lynn Smith, the Queen of Hearts, relationship expert, trainer, speaker, and best-selling author of The Cupid's Bow Technique. Lynn's mission is to have a positive impact in reducing divorce, domestic violence, and suicide.
Welcome to the Hearts Entwined podcast. This is your host, Lynn Smith, the Queen of Hearts. And today, listeners, we've got a juicy topic around communication in relationships, because isn't that a really hard one to navigate these days? And talking specifically about effective communication in relationships. So my guest today is Bridget Green. She's a relationship therapist and coach. So welcome, Bridget.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Bridget.
I appreciate the opportunity. The opportunity to talk about this topic.
Excellent. And we appreciate having you on as our expert around this topic, because I think it's a very important one. Because isn't it true that a lot of relationships break down just because we're not effectively communicating? It doesn't necessarily have to be a toxic or unhealthy relationship. You can just be, you know, we're just not understanding the other person.
Not understanding the person. And often I hear, well, we've been together for 15 years and I haven't understood them, so I just give up. But I think people need to realize that if both partners are willing to work, that can all be effectively turned around. And it's important that we listen to our partner in the same way we listen at work, we listen to our friends, and that's usually where the breakdown comes. That we give other people a lot more energy than we will our partner.
Yeah, because I think quite often we're sometimes so keen to prove our point that we're not actually listening to them. We're just waiting for the opportunity to jump in with the I'm right point of view, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And sometimes you can literally see the person's wheels turning as you're talking. You know they're not listening because you can look at them and tell they're thinking of what they're going to say next. So no communication has happened in that period. You've accomplished nothing. You're angry because they're not listening, and they're angry because they're not listening. And so it's just really important that people take the time out. And if you are not in a space to listen right now, to say that, I can't listen to this, I can't do this right now, but we can get back to this in an hour when I can calm down. And people will say, well, that's not realistic, but it works. When you take the time with each other to say that, I just need some time before we continue the conversation.
Yeah, or
so it's important that we learn those things.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes it's not necessarily a case of calming down. Sometimes it just be that might just be an inappropriate moment, because you're, you know, one of the other partners might be just involved in a work situation at that moment in time and can't actually give you that time to listen.
And also there are people who process differently. And because people think of processing, think that it has something to do, a lot of people think it has something to do with intellectual ability, they won't say, I need more time to process information, meaning that you say something to them, they need it to, let's just say, sit in their brain for a couple of minutes before they really get all of the information. And people don't want to admit that. So you're talking to your partner, you're on sentence 20, they're still on sentence 7. And so again, you're not communicating because they're always trying to catch up. And if you know you have a partner who has different processing time, tell them what you want to tell them and give them time to really push it through their brain and understand and get an idea about what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's a common thing that I hear from clients, mainly women who I deal with, that they say they don't feel heard. And I think this could be the reason, you know, one of the main reasons why, because some people do need that time to process information, and it can come across as quite a barrage, and quite a lot all at once can be quite overwhelming for your partner to take on board.
Yes. And also the other thing with listening is being very specific about what you want. So when I'm with clients and they say, well, I want, say I'm with a couple and one says to the other, I want you to spend more time with me. Well, what does that look like? What does that mean? More time could be sitting at the table while you wash the dishes. What does that mean? And so I think it's important also that couples say, I need you to spend more time with me. Two nights a week, I would like to sit outside on the patio, drink a cup of coffee, have a glass of wine, whatever it is, and talk for 30 minutes. That's very specific about what it is that you're looking for. And it's important that we're specific about our wants. And don't feel embarrassed to tell each other what we need.
I think that's a really good point that you've raised there, because sometimes our communication can be perceived as very generic, and you know, the partner or the spouse can think, well, I do spend a lot of time at home, but is it quality time? Is it the time that your partner's actually looking for? And like you say, when you get specific around, I need two nights a week where I can at least sit down and have a conversation for 30 minutes, that is a big distinction, isn't it?
It's very big. And people also, I have found that a lot, it's the way you're greeted when you arrive home. That's a big deal too. You'll find when you're working with couples, when you come in the door and somebody's barely saying anything to you and you're not greeted in any type of way, for a lot of people, that just shuts the evening down. Like they don't even want me here really. And so it's important that you greet people in a positive way. Again, your friends, when they come to your house, it's hi, how are you? But when your partner comes in, it's maybe not even a response or barely a response. Oh, you're home. That for some people sets the tone for the entire day. And for busy parents, that time when one partner comes home might be the only time that day you really have a moment to exchange pleasantries with each other. So take 5 minutes to greet each other in the kitchen, at the door, wherever it is. Hug each other, give each other a kiss, give a short response on your day, and then you both feel like you're appreciated. Even if kids start vomiting and things start happening and you can't get back to each other, you had that first 5 minutes to connect with your partner, and that's very important.
Yeah, and I've also realized the importance of giving, my man time to wind down if he's been out busy all day. You know, sometimes it's a bit much to get straight into, a heavy conversation, let's say. They need that sort of like a minimum of 30 minutes to actually wind down before, thinking about having an intellectual conversation.
And that's why wants and needs are important, because that's when you exchange that information. Like, okay, I can wave at you when I come in, but then I need to sit in the bedroom by myself for 30 minutes. That's why it's so important that we exchange those wants and needs and are very open about them, because everybody's different. And if you do need that time to sit and unwind after work, then you deserve to have that time. But don't forget that your partner may need some time also. If they've been home all day with the kids or home for hours with the kids, maybe after your 30 minutes, they need 30 minutes to go in there and sit and look at the ceiling.
Yeah, or go and have a pampered soap bath, bubble bath, or something
Yes.
to wind down, especially with the young children. There can be a quite a handful, and it can be, we know with children they're a 24/7 job, aren't they? And usually, if the main carer is the woman, or even if it's the guy, that's a full-time job that's very stressful, regardless of what other job the partner is doing outside of the home, isn't it?
It's very much so. And I have several clients who are homeschooling. So they're at home with the children of varying ages, homeschooling, getting dinner ready, doing all those things. And then their partner comes home. And again, communication says, we never have sex. And what they're not realizing is, well, this person has been dealing with children all day. Somebody has been hanging on their leg all day. And so oftentimes, by the time the evening rolls around, they are touch avoidant. They don't want to be touched. Somebody has been holding on to them all day. And so and when you run into that, you need the opportunity to maybe take that hot bath, to take that hot shower, to sit outside by yourself on the patio, and for the partner to realize that it's not you, it's just I've had hands on me all day and I need some time. My body needs to rest. My body needs a chance to feel like it's mine again. And that's important that they exchange that information. But what I find is that often they're not talking about that. The sex just has shut down. And there's an angry partner and a partner who doesn't understand. And I always tell them that for the most part, men and women work very differently. Women are like a pot that's boiling and always needs something to keep it boiling. And that's when you get the best person, because they always feel you're romantic to them. They always feel your whole, you may hold their hand or talk gently to them. And they need that. Most women need that. That's all part of the romance, that you're not just being nice to me because you want sex. You're being nice to me because you think I deserve to be nice to. You want to be kind. You want to be near me. And men, most men, they don't need all that. You're ready, they're ready. And so I tell husbands to remember your wife is like a pot that's boiling. You always need to keep that fire lit, or you're not going to get what you want.
That's a very good point too. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's a bit like foreplay in a way, but it can just be just general affection, not necessarily at a time where sex is going to be available, but just showing your partner that hug when you come through the door and that kiss on the cheek can be enough to keep the pot boiling, can't it?
It can, or just kind words, or when you go to put gas in the car, you know that your partner likes a Hershey bar, bring a Hershey bar home. Whatever it is, it's just those small things that communicate, I care, I love you, I hear you, and I see you, and I appreciate you. Most of us just want to be appreciated. And that's what most of us are looking for. And that's what that love grows from, is a feeling of being appreciated, that you are special just because you're you, for no other reason. That's very important that people hear that.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely true for guys as well, and I think, unfortunately, I think with along with women's lib and women being more independent, we've forgot to acknowledge and appreciate guys when they offer chivalrous acts, for example, opening the car door or pulling the seat out for ourselves. Of course, we can do those things for ourselves. But that's a gift that our guy is giving us, isn't it? To show that they love and appreciate us. And it's always nice to acknowledge and thank him for that.
Yes, that is. And everybody shows it in different ways. And if that's how your partner shows it, then and for some women, it is uncomfortable. So if it's uncomfortable for you, have that conversation again about wants and needs, and maybe you'll understand something about your partner you didn't before. And accept the love that they're giving to you. Most of us love people the way we want to be loved instead of the way they need to be loved. And that's a big thing we have to be very aware of too. Am I doing this because this is what I need, or am I doing this because this is what my partner needs? And that's very important in the communication aspect also. What does your partner need? Well, you don't know unless they tell you. But then oftentimes people will say, well, I've been with them for 10 years. They should know everything about me. No, because in 10 years, you've evolved, you've changed. Your wants 4 years ago are not the same wants now. Your needs for it, not if you're growing as a person. So they can't always know the things that you want, that you need, that have changed for you. That all comes with communication.
And it's worthwhile paying attention to communication, both, I suppose, verbally and with gestures and little physical touches and what have you, but also from a point of view of, I suppose, not taking people for granted. It literally is, like you said, so important to not assume that our partners are mind readers in this.
That's right, because they are not. And learning, just being honest about what you need. This is what, when you did this 2 years ago, I loved it. That is really not something I enjoy anymore. People find it very difficult to say that, but that's something that needs to be said and be expected, because people change. Like I said, they grow, they evolve, they become different people. And we're talking right now about people who are already together, who are already a couple, but we make a lot of our mistakes because we begin dating someone We know that they don't communicate in a way that works for us. We know they don't want to hear our communication. They're not communicators, but we think, well, that will change once we get together. And it's not. That person is going to be the same person they were in their last relationship unless they have made changes for themselves, not for you. They decided that they wanted to change A, B, and C. But we see all the red flags before we even become partners with somebody. But I don't know what it is. Sometimes people just go in, they'll say, I don't like this, I don't like this, and I don't like this. But he does all three. Well, why are you pursuing this relationship? He's going to continue to do all three.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it does sort of make the quote, love is blind, actually very true sometimes. Because we do ignore, like you say, people showing us who they are, even in the dating phase, and then still continuing with that relationship, even if they're doing behaviors that we're not finding acceptable.
Mm-hmm. And so we have to ask ourselves, why am I willing to do that? Why am I willing to deal with things I said I would never deal with again? What is going on with me? And so a lot of couples do need to see a therapist or a coach. And it's not necessarily forever. You just may need to work on communication and what your goals are as a couple. Are you discussing what your goals are? Or are you just living life every day? It's important to know where you want to be next year, 2 years, 5 years, because oftentimes you'll find you and your partner have totally different ideas about where you want to be, but you're not communicating that to each other.
Mm. And that's when we get resentments building up under the surface until, you know, the straw comes one day that breaks the camel's back, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does. And that's one thing I always talk about with couples are I have them write their resentments down. What are your resentments? In some relationships, you can just see resentments everywhere. And you would be surprised at the number of people who will say, I don't want to talk about my resentments. Well, if you don't talk about them, how do you get rid of them? How do you have an understanding about them with your partner? Because sometimes what is a resentment for you was really just a lack of communication. You didn't finish the conversation. So you walked around mad for 4 years. And if you had finished the conversation, you would have seen you were on the same page.
Interesting. Yes, I love that.
I've had couples who brought up, I had a couple who brought up, she brought up that maybe 25 years ago, he hadn't opened the door or held the door open when she came in with their new baby from the hospital. And so she said, I knew at that moment what life was going to be like. How did you know at that moment was like what life was going to be like? He's a new dad. He's nervous. He's trying to bring things in. Why didn't you all discuss that? I didn't need to discuss it. I knew who he was at that moment. You mean you never knew during your pregnancy, dating, marriage? You just knew because he didn't hold the door open. That was a conversation you should have had. But she could describe that moment in detail 25 years later. That was a resentment she'd been carrying for 25 years. That was a lot of wasted energy.
Good grief. And the thing is, that then sets up a self-fulfilling prophecy, because from that moment onward, she's thinking, you know, a negative thought around that to do with him. That's going to just keep festering and compounding that belief, isn't it?
And that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. And do you know the other part of that? He didn't remember that at all. He didn't. He remembered that first day home with the new baby, totally different.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I think it's true, you know, that men and women are different, both physically, biologically, and the way they think. And, you know, I think for how we manage our communication, quite often I think we expect our guys to listen to us the same way our girlfriends do, and it's not going to be the same, is it?
No, not at all. Our girlfriends, we listen together, and I had somebody say this to me. They were like, "You talk about 17 different things. You don't stay on topic." Well, that's the way I talk with my girlfriends. And I guess I've gotten in that pattern, because we might interrupt each other. We might go off on a tangent, then we'll come back to the original thing. But men don't generally talk like that.
No.
They talk about the topic. And so when you're together as a couple, you have to learn how to balance that with each other. And that's what people don't spend a lot of time on often. How do I balance this with my partner who stays very task and subject oriented, and me who goes off in 30 different directions? And now they don't really want to spend a lot of time listening to me because I'm all over the place. So now we need to work on our communication and how to do this so we both want to talk to each other instead of just getting angry.
Absolutely. I think I had it described to me quite eloquently that women's brains are like spaghetti because they're all over the place. They can multitask quite easily, whereas men's are very compartmental. They've got a box for the relationship, a box for their interests and hobbies, a box for work and all this, and very autonomous.
That's very true. I tell people that I was dating someone when I was younger, and he said, "Oh, I need for whatever it was we were going to." So we go in the mall, and he's over looking for. And I said, "Oh, did you see this? I'm looking for a blue sweater." I know, but did you see this? I'm looking for a blue sweater. That was his thought. I'm in here for a blue sweater. Well, we generally, yes, we go in for a pair of black shoes, but we look at lots of other things while we're looking for those black shoes. And so our brains just work differently. How do we bring that together so that we work well together as a couple?
What sort of commonalities did you find amongst your clients regarding what resentments tended to come up most commonly?
Not feeling heard. Not feeling important. That happens all the time. That comes up all the time. I don't feel important to them. And oftentimes, because I work with the neurodiverse community a lot, people will say the rest of the world gets the best of them because people mask, neurodiverse people mask often in the world. And when they come home, they take that mask off. And now you're getting the real person who doesn't always have the skills that they need to communicate. And so those are the things that I get, not being heard, not feeling important, and time. That's the other issue that comes up a lot. We don't have time for each other, or he doesn't have time for me, or and sex is a big one. We're not having enough sex. So those are the things that tend to come up often.
And how do you get them, I suppose, what techniques do you suggest for actually ensuring that each person gets fully heard, not actually when they're talking to you, but in their own home space as an exercise?
I am big on repeating back. So letting a person speak, take in as much as you can in your brain, and then say, "Hold on one moment. What I'm hearing you say is blah, blah, blah. Yes. Okay, please continue." For couples who have a really hard time communicating, that seems to work really well because I get to repeat what I'm hearing in intervals and ask you to please continue. And then at the end, repeat everything that you would like or you have said. The other that works well is writing things down. I give them topics often and say, "Write it down. Write down," and here's a particular one. Write down 10 needs that you have, 10 needs, and they write them down. Don't show them to each other until we meet again. And then they have the opportunity to speak about those needs. That's very eye-opening for them because most of the time they don't know all that their person actually had those needs. I tell them also to talk if they have children. When you're spending quality time together, do not bring the children up. You need to be a couple again. So be that couple and look at your relationship as a living entity. So what do you need to do to take care of that living entity? It needs to be fed, watered, all of those things. And so stand back on occasion and ask yourself, am I personally, not what your partner is doing, but am I taking care of that relationship? And always know that you can stop a conversation and pick it up later. That is one of the most important ones. We can pick this up later because it doesn't make sense for us to have a full-blown argument tonight when we can both think it over and come up with alternatives tomorrow. So I encourage people to just wait. when they're having a difficult conversation.
Another tip that I can share that I've done with some clients is I get them to look at something. I mean, it might just be a blank television screen, obviously not something that's on the TV that can be a distraction, but a blank television screen, and take it in turns to talk to the TV screen, and not and you know and until that person stopped talking into the TV screen, the other person's not to interrupt. Yeah, and
That's
that's
a good
worked
one,
really well. Yeah.
because that's where the problem comes in, the interrupting and the fact that the person who is the most that can speak the best, or that is the more powerful speaker, can overtake the conversation. And the person who's a little quieter, they don't get the opportunity to say everything they need to say. So that's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely worked as a tip that I've given clients, and it's helped, you know, to help specifically the other person feel like they're being heard because they're not being interrupted. And sometimes when you're looking at somebody, you can even their facial expressions can put you off your flow. Whereas if your attention is directed towards something else, like a blank TV screen, you can keep focused on just what looking at that, and not be distracted by, you know, your the expression of what how the how your spouse is receiving it, basically.
Because that throws us off a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Body language is a big part of communication. And so if your partner even tilts their head in a certain way,
Or rolls
sometimes,
their eyes.
yeah, then you're like, oh, forget it. You don't want to hear what I have to say. I'm not going to continue. But if you're not looking at all that, yeah, that would be a great way to continue the conversation.
So, Bridget, what is the best way that people can get in touch with you if they're interested in connecting?
Well, I have a website that is Neurodiverse Empowerment, and that's spelled NeuroDiverse, and then the word empowerment, all in one word, .com. And also my email, which is just BridgetGreenTherapy.com. So that's BRIDGITTE, green like the color, therapy.com.
Excellent. So, any final words or tips that you can give about sharing any more wisdom around communicating in a put my teeth in Lynn in an effective way in our relationships?
I would say listen and speak with respect always to your partner. If we speak with respect, then we can keep some of those conversations that blow up, we can prevent them from blowing up. So speak with respect and really listen and watch for the body language when they're speaking and trying to get something across to you, because sometimes it lets us know that they're in a little more distress about this topic than we actually can tell from their words. That's the biggest thing, I think. And also remembering that your relationship is a living, breathing entity. You wouldn't leave anything that's living and breathing. We don't leave it to starve. And so don't leave your relationship to starve.
I love that. That's great words of advice there. And quite often relationships can get to a point where we start speaking with contempt to our partner, and that's a dangerous ground to be on, isn't it?
It's very dangerous, because if a person doesn't respect, how can I feel loved by you if I don't even feel you respect me? And so that, if you don't feel respected, you don't feel anything from this person.
Well, thank you so much, Bridget. That's been great. I love the tips and the exercises that you've shared with us around this topic. And I've really enjoyed listening and having a conversation with you about it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
So it just leaves me to say, listeners, that true love starts with opening our hearts. And until next time, goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Hearts Entwined podcast. You can follow Lynn via the Facebook group Two Hearts Entwined, or search Lynn Smith, inspirational speaker, at LinkedIn, or email lynn@hearts-entwined.com. That's lyn@hearts-entwined.com. Remember, true love starts with opening our hearts.